How will you choose to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic? Here's Pastor John Randall to have us think that through.
Because we live in a fallen world, we are not exempt from hardship, from pain, or suffering. But the question is, how do we respond when it hits? Do we curse God or worship God? Do we lean on our own limited, finite understanding, or do we fall upon our Father's compassion and mercy and worship Him?
I think you'd agree, life doesn't always make sense. At times, we wonder why good people suffer and why God would allow a virus to spread around the world, leading to such devastation. Well, we find some questions in the book of Job that are being asked today, and so we thought we'd take you to Job chapters 1 and 2, not necessarily to answer all of your questions, but rather to help you see what God is wanting to produce in your life through the present difficulty. Here once again is Pastor John Randall on a daily walk.
Whatever comes into our lives has to pass through the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. And knowing this, we can stand upon the promises of God's word and His character as revealed in His word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul wrote, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." You know, I am learning that although I don't always know what God is doing or why He is doing it, that there is a higher purpose that I often do not understand. That in some way we are being refined, in some way we are being tested, we are being sanctified through these circumstances, and we can rest in knowing that. As the story moves forward, we find a series of tragedies that suddenly struck Job's life. The devil accused Job's motives, saying to God that Job doesn't really love you at all. The only reason he serves you is because of what he can get from you. And so God gave the enemy permission to attack Job to a certain extent and yet to spare his life. And so we see in Job chapter 1, a series of events that happened one after another successively. Job began to receive reports from his servants. The first report came in. 500 donkeys, 500 oxen were stolen by the Sabians from the east. They came in and attacked, took Job's livestock, and then killed all of his servants. Right after Job received that information, he then got word that 7,000 sheep were consumed by what the servant referred to, who survived, as the fire of God. In other words, Job, 7,000 of the sheep were consumed by God's fire. God did this, Job. And while he was still speaking, Job received yet another report, this time that the camels had been stolen by the Chaldeans. In one brief moment, all of Job's livestock was taken from him. But then Job received the most devastating news of all, the news that no parent would ever want to receive. Job's 10 children that he loved so dearly and prayed for daily, all of them died in a tragic, horrible accident. The hedge had been removed, and the servant of the Lord was devastated. I don't know what I would have done if that had happened to me. I'm sure that I would have been tempted to curse God, or to turn my back on God, or perhaps to seek vengeance on my enemies. But here we find Job's remarkable response in chapter 1, when it says in verse 20, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. It says that Job got up, which implies that he was down. He tore his clothes. He shaved his head. He fell on his face. And notice that it says he worshiped God. He praised God. He bowed before God. Job expresses his emotion, his pain, his suffering, not in drinking or drugging, not in cursing or venting, but in worship. He pours out his heart before God. Because we live in a fallen world, we are not exempt from hardship, from pain, or suffering. But the question is, how do we respond when it hits? Do we curse God or worship God? Do we lean on our own limited, finite understanding, or do we fall upon our Father's compassion and mercy and worship Him? It says in all these things, verse 22, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly or with wrong. In all of his loss and grief, Job never said, "God, how dare you? Is this what I get for being faithful to you? Is this what I get for offering all those sacrifices to you? Is this how you treat me? You take my blessings, you take my family, you allow this to hit. Why would you do that?" He never said that to God. He never said, "How dare you?" He never said, "Lord, how could you?" He said, "I worship you." Surely this was a sacrifice of praise for Job. And as devastating and as painful as Job's experience had been up to this point, it wasn't over. The devil came back a second time. There was, if I may say, a follow-up meeting between the Lord and the devil. And the Lord pointed out that Job remained faithful in the midst of his suffering, in spite of all that he had gone through. And yet Satan, as the accuser of the brethren that he is, denied what God affirmed. His second accusation was even more insidious than the first. He said, "Skin for skin," which seems to imply, when you come right down to it, man is so selfish, they don't always sacrifice someone else's skin to save his own. Self-preservation kicks in. "It's no big thing for Job to give up his possessions," Satan suggested. Further, the enemy implied that Job's response to what he lost was simply a big front to stop the attacks, although he still had his life. All Job did was say what God wanted to hear, but he wasn't sincere. "You take away his health," Satan said, "and he will surely curse you." Now the accusation comes, and Job is only concerned about one thing, Satan said, his own personal survival. "You allow me to hit his health? That'll do it. That'll tip the scale. Some deadly malady, he'll curse you." And once again, the Lord gave the enemy permission, but only allowed him to go so far. Job's life would be spared. And it says in Scripture that Job was struck with boils, that boils covered his body, a physical infirmity that was extremely painful. In fact, it says to give himself comfort in the midst of his pain, Job took a broken piece of pottery and tried to scrape his infected sores, which now were running sores. How disgusting to look at. How painful was Job's experience? And then it says that Job also sat down in an ash heap. Not only was Job dealing with the emotional pain of all that he had lost, but now he's dealing with the physical pain as well. And that wasn't all. Job wasn't the only person suffering in this story. Job's wife was also hurting. For Job's wife came to him in Job chapter 2 and verse 9. And his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." As harsh as her comments might seem at first reading, you can't really blame Job's wife. Those 10 children that died in that horrible accident were her children. And in her own pain and frustration of losing her family and then watching her husband suffer physically, she's just, "Job, just give up. Just stop. Stop trusting God. Stop holding fast to God. It's not worth it. Just stop. Give up." Maybe today that's what the enemy has been insisting to you, suggesting to you. Give up. It's not worth it. You might as well just stop. God's not really concerned about your situation. Nothing could be further from the truth. We see Job respond again in a remarkable way. He says in verse 10 to his wife, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In the midst of all that he was going through and all the pain that he was experiencing, Job said to his wife, "Can we ignore how good God has been to us? And shouldn't we receive adversity as well? Do we only serve God when he's good? Or do we serve God when it's difficult? Are we only going to serve God when he blesses us financially? Do we only serve God on our terms? Or do we serve him on his? What are we thinking? Have we forgotten how good he's been?" And listen, the truth of the matter is, when you're suffering, when you're in pain, when you're going through a trial or hardship, it is so easy to forget, isn't it, how good God has been. It's easy to forget that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for my sins. It's easy to forget that my citizenship is in heaven, that this isn't all that there is, and I can lose sight so easily. And I think, "God, if this is how it's going to be, then why do I serve you anyway?" As if I can only serve God if he blesses me, but not when he allows me to be tested through adversity. As Job continued to go through the valley of suffering, there were lessons that he learned along the way that are actually recorded in the book of Job. And although there were many things that he did not understand, it was through his suffering that he arrived at some amazing revelations. Job would say more than once, in the midst of what he did not know, "This is what I know." Notice what it says in Job chapter 19 in verse 25. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another." How my heart yearns within me. In the midst of his pain and suffering, Job came to this awareness, this revelation that his Redeemer was alive and well. And in a matter of time, when this life was over, he was going to be in the presence of his Redeemer and he was going to see him face to face. Job had this revelation of eternity in the midst of suffering. And when you're in pain and when you are suffering, there is a greater sense of longing to be with Jesus. Job was ready. If the Lord would take him Then and there, he was ready to go. He knew. How did he know that? There was no revelation of that that you could see in the Old Testament. Job just, the Lord revealed it to him in the midst of suffering. But then we also see in Job 23, in verse 8, Job says, look, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, I can't perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I can't behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I can't see him. Verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said, there's a lot of things I don't know right now. I look to the left, I don't see him. I look to the right, I can't perceive it. I look all around and it just does, nothing seems clear. But then he says, but this thing I do know, this is something I know in the midst of what I don't. I know that when I have been tested, when I have been refined, although the heat of the trial is turned up, although the pain seems to be on full blast, here's something I know for sure. I'm gonna come forth as gold. I will be refined through this process. God is working in me. That's what Job said in essence. He said, you know what I've come to realize in the midst of this season that I'm in? That God's doing a deeper work in me. I'm seeing it. I'm being refined. Friend, maybe that's what you're seeing in the last 7 weeks. That God is doing a deeper work in you to make you more like Jesus in the process. And then in Job 42, verse 2, notice what Job says he knew. In speaking to the Lord, he said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Talk about a revelation. Job has a revelation of eternity in the future. Job has a revelation of refining in the present. And Job has this revelation of the character of God, that he is in absolute control, that he can do everything, and that whatever his purpose is, it's going to come to pass. And Job rests in that. Job didn't necessarily know what all the purposes of God were, but he said, Lord, whatever your purpose is, you're in control. You're going to bring it to pass. Guys, listen, these are some of the lessons that God is wanting to teach us right now in the season that we're in as a nation, as a people, as a church. To know that God can do everything, that nothing is impossible with him, and not just to receive the blessings of God, but also to go through the adversity with God. What do trials, hardship, suffering produce in the life of the child of God? For one thing, it produces maturity. It says in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That word patience means perseverance or endurance. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. Hardship, adversity, suffering, pain, it causes me to grow up. It helps me to grow. Difficult things that you go through, hard times that you experience, it's part of spiritual growth in the life of the child of God. Not only does it produce maturity, but secondly, it produces character. There's no shortcut, by the way, to Christian character. It says here in Romans chapter 5, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Christian character, depth of character is produced by what we experience and what we go through with the Lord. How do you learn of the faithfulness of God unless you've had to trust God to be faithful? How could you say that God is your provider unless you have experienced his provision when you didn't have it? Character is developed. But also, finally, we find that it produces trust. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, the Apostle Paul said, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Did you see what Paul said? We felt like we were dying inside. We weren't necessarily in the place we wanted to be, but in the midst of it, we learned something. We learned not to trust in ourselves, and that is our natural tendency, to trust in ourselves. But it was through the suffering that we learned to trust in God. Character, hope, maturity, trust. Now, in our minds, if you're going through a deep valley today, you say, Lord, you know what? I don't know that I want to be mature. I'm okay with being immature. You know, character is good for some people, but I'm okay. I can hold off on the character. You know, Job didn't have the benefit of knowing what was going to happen. He didn't know anything about the cross at Calvary. He didn't know about the resurrection of Jesus. And sometimes I think we wish that we could pick our path, that we could determine our route or our road and design our own destiny. But we would miss out on what God wants to do in and through us. If you read the end of Job, you find that God blessed him abundantly, even more than he had before. But it wasn't easy. Folks, listen, there is a brighter day coming. This pandemic, it'll pass. But what will we be like on the other side of it? How has it changed you? How has it transformed your thinking, your perspective? Will you be different? Or will you go back to business as usual? Would to God that we wouldn't go back to what we were before, that we would allow the Lord to work these lessons into our lives, that we would be mature and filled with godly character and a greater trust in Him, that we would know who we are.
So what will you be like on the other side of the COVID-19 pandemic? An important question to ponder over as we wrap things up today on A Daily Walk. God is wanting to accomplish something good in and through our lives, if we're open to it. We certainly see that in the life of Job. Pastor John Randall will be right back. As we leave you today, we'd like to say how much it means to us each and every time we hear how God is at work in our listeners' lives. It would be so encouraging to hear from you, so please write today while it's fresh on your mind. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com. You can call us toll-free at 877-242-0828. That's also the number to call if you'd like a copy of today's message. We can send that to you for a cost of just $5. Again, reach us at 877-242-0828. You can also visit our website to listen to today's message at adailywalk.org. And while you're there, you'll notice many other available resources in the e-store. One of them is Pastor John's book, Field Guide for Your Faith. In it, John likens this life to a camping trip. We're currently living in the temporary tents of our physical bodies, but one day our journey will be over and we'll go home to heaven. In the meantime, the Sermon on the Mount serves as a field guide for our faith. We'll send this your way for a cost of just $10. Again, it's called Field Guide for Your Faith by John Randall. Get your order in today by calling 877-242-0828 or go to adailywalk.org for easy online ordering. Or write to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. Here at A Daily Walk, we look to the Lord to provide for us and sustain us. We know these are difficult and challenging financial times for many of you, but if God has blessed you with a little extra this month, we'd very much appreciate your support. This would be a wonderful time to hear from you. We've tried to make it easy to make a donation online at adailywalk.org or call us at 877-242-0828. Finishing things up in prayer, here's Pastor John once again.
Father, we thank you this morning that, Lord, even when life doesn't make sense and everything around us is changing, you remain the same. And Lord, today, we choose to praise you. We thank you that we belong to you. And Lord, that if you allow difficulty or testing or refining to come into our lives, there is a greater purpose. Lord, I do pray for those today who are suffering among us, those who are hurting. God, I pray that you would help them, that you would comfort them with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. For those that need provision today, Lord, that you would provide. Lord, for those that need to be reminded of your presence, that they would know right now that you are with them, that you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we trust you today. We choose to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today. We look forward to continuing our study in 1 Corinthians next time we meet for a daily walk with John Randall, where you'll never have to walk alone.